Champion Torch Livecast is brought to you today by Audible, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment, and by the good people at LootCrate.com, where June is Dystopia Month. Save $3 off your purchase by using the code TWTorch.
And when that happened, we would normally force them in the pool.
Right.
And the look on someone's face when you shove them and they're in the air and they're saying to themselves, no. And they realize that they're completely, totally wet. Watch the whole deal. It is one of the funniest things in the world.
What? I got a jail for less than you.
Jail's no fun, I'll tell you that much.
Where you been?
Once. In Monopoly.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's a spot for kids.
And it's just that simple. Hello, you people. Today is Wednesday, June 8th, 2016. I am your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekly episodic pro wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast. Your Wednesday intro song is Sport for Kings by Kids on Bridges. They're the official artists of the PW Torch Livecast. They're available on iTunes. They sound kind of like this. All right, we're coming at you with 60-plus minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. We are taking your call, 646-721-9828, here on Blog Talk Radio. We are taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Of course, the chat room is open at pwtorchlivecast.com, and you can send in your Twitter questions to me now at RealPatMcNeil. Let's at least get this warmed up with one of our guest stars. Ladies and gentlemen, representing the fine publication of Newsday, please welcome Mr. Alfonso Castillo. How you doing, Alfonso?
What's up, Pat? I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Doing great. But we have a big week of wrestling to talk about. 646-721-9828. And, of course, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. Let's see. Why don't you tell us what you've been up to as you cover pro wrestling and other topics for one of the largest newspapers still surviving in the United States?
Yes, more other topics than wrestling these days. The day job is covering transit. But as much as possible, I try to sneak in some wrestling news. I was able to interview Long Island native Vince Russo not long ago for a piece that we put up, kind of looking back at his Long Island roots, and a couple other things lately, too. Talked to Ring of Honor's, COO, operating officer, Joe Koff, some time back. My colleague at Newsday, Josh Stewart, is, you know, always at it, putting up photo galleries, historical pieces, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, there's plenty of wrestling content for fans at Newsday.com.
And you must be counting the time until August hits, when there is the big WWE SummerSlam weekend in Brooklyn.
Yes, I think I'm actually going to be out of town that week, unfortunately. I had to miss SummerSlam last year, too. I was able to make NXT. But I might not be around for it. It's a tough ticket to get anyway. I hope to be back for Field of Honor, which thankfully this year is on separate weeks, so it won't have to be choosing one or the other.
Okay, that's a good deal. 646-721-9828. I think Kylan's going to want to talk to JTG, but we'll give this a chance. We're going to do some commercials, but before that, we're going to give us a practice call in the 240 area code. 240, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast. Alfonso Castillo is here. Hello.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good. First question for Al is, have you ever been turned away from a wrestling event as far as getting, like, press credentials, like what happened with the reporters at the UFC?
No, not exactly. I mean, I've certainly read situations where, you know, typically WWE isn't dealing that much in press credentials as they are in comps, tickets to get in. It's not unusual for them to run out of comps and not be able to get in. That's something I ran into last year with SummerSlam. And that's understandable. You know, I get that. And I think sort of like the press credential thing. It's a privilege and not a right, so I understand it. You know, the opportunities for press credential stuff, I mean, I have gone to events like WrestleMania, the bigger shows, WrestleMania press conferences in Times Square, that kind of thing. Never had an issue being credentialed. And suffice to say, I've ticked off WWE more than once. Yeah, never ran into that. I mean, I do think that there have been some periods where they've been a little cold to us, you know. But I think that the difference there is for all their issues with the press, they've been around long enough and have been a big deal long enough to realize that the good comes with the bad. And you know, if you want the press to cover your good stuff, you gotta expect and be willing for them to cover your bad stuff too.
Well said, I think. Okay. Do you have anything else, Ryan, or shall we put you back in the queue until JTG shows up?
Second question is, who did you tick off in WWE? Was it like one of the higher ups, like Vince McMahon or Stephanie McMahon, or was it like a lower end person that works there?
You know, the interaction is typically with the PR team there, but it's not them getting ticked off, obviously. It's their higher ups, and it comes down through them. And it really depends on the story. I mean, I remember when the Chris Benoit stuff happened about 9 years ago, and, you know, I say covering wrestling is sort of my side beat at Newsday, but for some period of time there, it was sort of my full-time beat because it was such a major story. And they weren't happy about it, you know. But to be fair, they gave us a good amount of access. I remember talking to Jerry McDevitt on the phone some, and were as forthcoming as I guess you'd expect them to be under the circumstances. But I think I've gotten them upset a couple of times, and I think that the maddest they ever got. And this is kind of a trivial thing in retrospect, and I sort of felt bad for this one. You know, I think I ended up apologizing, but it was really kind of an innocent thing, was when Snooki wrestled at WrestleMania some years back, and Jersey Shore was the flavor of the month at the time. And if you were a Jersey Shore fan, you may recall that her name for, you know, jacked up strong guys was Gorilla Juice Heads. And I made some comment about there being, you know, no shortage of Gorilla Juice Heads at WrestleMania, and a little thing that I did for our entertainment page, thinking nothing of it. And
of course, you meant in the audience, right?
Yeah, and WWE was none too pleased with their wrestlers being referred to as Juice Heads.
Well, they're just overly sensitive that way, I guess.
Yeah, and honestly, I didn't even make the connection. I didn't even think, like, oh, right, Juice Heads, some steroids.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know, it happens. Okay, Ryan, can you hold on to the break?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. We are going to be right back after this timeout.
Oh, and now for a word from someone. I forget. I think they sell paint.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
and back with more of our fine program today. Say, kids, first of all, I want to remind you, audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. That's where you go to get your official PW Torch membership on audible.com. And you can, of course, get it's $14.95 a month. You get one book a month. You get the first book free when you become a member through this special PW Torch offer. And you also get 30% off each additional audiobook during the month. That is audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. Our Amazon store is www.pwtorch.com/Amazon. And I can tell you, of course, about Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. The important thing you need to know is it's lootcrate.com. That's the really important thing you need to know. And the second most important thing you need to know is that you have until the 19th to get this month's crate. This month's theme is dystopia, and they are promising stuff in your crate from Terminator 2, RoboCop, The Matrix, Fallout 4, and BioShock Infinite. And yes, if you go to lootcrate.com, there is a special Ghostbusters collector crate that is just that is in honor of the upcoming Ghostbusters movie. So be sure to check that out. That is over at lootcrate.com. We have Alfonso Castillo with us from Newsday. Don't forget a lot of stuff up on the on pwtorchlivecast.com. We've had over 1,000 episodes, going on to 1,500 episodes. And if you dig far enough into pwtorchlivecast.com, you can listen to all of them, each and every one of them. It's fantastic material. We hope you enjoy it. All right, let me go ahead and check in on the 862 area code. 862, please state your name and town. You're on the livecast with Alfonso.
Kylan from North New Jersey.
How you doing, Kylan?
I'm very well, Pat. How are you doing?
Oh, I have no complaints right now.
That's good. I have one question for Alfonso. In your opinion, Alfonso, will the upcoming brand split or roster split, as Wade Keller puts, generate enough network subscriptions domestically to reach 1.5 million?
Where are they these days? Like 1.3, something like that?
They're just over 1 million domestically, but all together they're at about 1.3.
Yeah. So that'd be a pretty sizable jump. You know, I've heard Wade write off negativity about the brand split as just snarky cynicism or whatever it is that he said, and I really couldn't disagree more. It's not that I'm down on the brand split, but I'm not optimistic at all about it, and that's not snarkiness. I think that is just observing history, and pretty much every time WWE has some new pet project, some new TV initiative. You know, they're very excited about it for some time, whether it's a month or 6 months or a year or whatever it is. I mean, the original brand split did last a while. But, it, you know, if we've seen anything, it's that Vince McMahon does not have the patience or the discipline to see something out. And, you know, in some ways, that's one of his strengths, you know, and he's talked about it. He talks about how every Monday night he wants to treat it like it's the first night on the job, and it's just all about entertaining right now and not looking ahead and worrying about the future and that kind of thing. But what we've seen is the first sign of ratings flatlining or going down, or the first injury that happens, it becomes a super show, and you bring in some talent from the other side. And then you do it a little bit more, and then you no longer split the brands up for house shows. And before you know it, it's no brand split at all. And again, that's not being just negative or cynical. That is looking at history, whether it is, you know, look at any project that we had. I mean, from Saturday Morning Slam to the original NXT, which, if you remember, was kind of this wrestling reality show hybrid, to the many reboots of SmackDown, where you know, this time we're going to take it seriously. It's moving from Saturday to Friday or Friday to Thursday or Sci-Fi to USA or whatever. You know, we're gonna you know, ramp it up and make it more important. Or on and on and on and on. I mean, the countless different shows, main events, superstars. Remember, main event out of the gate had some pretty big matches on it, and it was supposed to be kind of a major show. And when's the last time anybody even watched main event? And I know it's not all exactly apples to apples. The stakes are much bigger here. It's USA. It's live. It's going to have a lot of money invested in it. But I, you know, just look at the issues they're dealing with Raw, and what is the biggest problem plaguing Raw? It's 3 hours. It's much too long. And why is that? It is, again, this short-sightedness of just more right now. Don't look ahead to the future. What can we do right now? 3 hours will get us more money than two. Let's do 3 hours. So I think out of the gate, it might be exciting. You know, they might have a run of a few months. I don't see this lasting long, or at least not lasting long in any significant way. I mean, the brand split might be here 2-5 years from now, but I don't think it will be a brand split in the way that we think it should be.
You know, I am the head of snarky citizen. I am the head of snarky cynicism here, but yeah, I mean that is the problem. I think the other problem with this is, you know, this is not Vince's idea. I mean, this is something he's been pushed into by USA Network. He's losing money on having to go live because they're not giving him more money to do it. This is, you know, I mean, he's not getting a bigger cut for taking SmackDown live. And the brand split is just a way to put a nice face on it. Now, I mean, the good news is that they are going live, so they do, as long as they're going live with SmackDown, they are going to have to take it seriously. And they're gonna feel obligated to put, you know, some more stuff on it. But I don't think that they have the they're also supposedly actually splitting up the creative teams. I don't know that they have the mentality for this. I mean, I know they have the talent. They have an incredible talent roster. This goes against you're out of Vince McMahon's comfort zone, and when you're out of Vince McMahon's comfort zone, that doesn't always last very long.
Right. I mean, these things sometimes fail when Vince McMahon is very excited about it. If he's reluctant about this, I mean, what chances does it have? I just can't imagine, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure that he's talked himself into this and he's very, very excited. But, you know, I mean, it looks right now that, I mean, there is so much that they're doing. They've got a pay-per-view coming up. They've got a big NXT thing tonight. They've got this whole cruiserweight series, which, you know, we'll see how that goes. I don't know what they have planned. I mean, I don't think that they're comfortable with the Raw rating, and I'd be reluctant to, you know, they're going to be reluctant to take guys off of the Raw brand while that's going on. Anyway, okay, Colin, we'll put you back on hold. Thank you. We'll rejoin you in a moment. 646-721-9828. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com. We're going to take another short commercial break here. When we come back, we will have more of your questions here on the Wednesday Livecast.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on earth. People.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWT PWTorch.com/Amazon. That's PWTorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
If you want to be a part of the Pro Wrestling Torch family and listen to up to 15 VIP exclusive audio shows per week, then head over to PWTorch.com/GoVIP. That is PWTorch.com/GoVIP. And sign up today. It's $10 a month, $99 a year, and you get to listen to tons of exciting audio shows like this one, except some are even better. It's been a red letter day. Okay, and Alfonso's back with us. All right, let's go to the chat room here. Chat room question comes from our man Chicky Singer, who asks, Alfonso, do reporters like Bill Apter get a lot of heat for having alternate theories on the Chris Benoit murder-suicide? I'm not sure how much I want to go into this, but okay.
I mean, I guess as much as anybody. I think I like Bill very much. I think anybody who raises those is going to deal with some eye-rolling from the press or from any sort of rational person, I'd say. You know, the flip side of that is that whether it's Bill or it's Chris Jericho or anybody else, you do have to appreciate that they have a completely different perspective, having known him on a personal level, and maybe have a harder time coming to grips with the fact that somebody they thought they knew, they cared about, they considered a friend, could do something so heinous.
Does Chris Jericho actually have an alternate theory other than, you know, I mean, what I've heard from him in the past is, you know, that's, I mean, you know, I know Chris Benoit murdered his family, but that's not the Chris Benoit that I knew and was friends
with. Yeah, no, I don't think he has. I mean, I think he had somebody on his show who floated some theory, and I forget, I mean, maybe he didn't totally disagree with him. Maybe he suggested that it was possible. I forget who that even was. Was it maybe Chavo Guerrero? I don't know. I don't want to speculate.
You don't want to get that wrong. Okay, understood. All right, this is a busy month here in pro wrestling in general. Obviously, tonight we have NXT TakeOver, which you know, everybody listening is looking forward to. We have this Sunday, of course, it's TNA celebrating its 14th anniversary at Slammiversary. Ring of Honor's got Best in the World. Evolve has the Global Cruiserweight Flashpoint this weekend. You know, it's a lot of different challenges, and we asked the question, on one of our polls, what people are most looking forward to. What interests you the most this month, Alfonso?
You know, Money in the Bank is technically this month. Yeah, is always going to stand out as it's not one of those big four, whatever those big. I guess there aren't even big four anymore with Team of the Ring kind of being gone, but it's not one of those legacy pay-per-views. But it's got as high stakes as any because somebody leaves that show with that briefcase, and inevitably that factors in very big late in the year. And it doesn't always, but it certainly can make a wrestler's career. So certainly interested to see who gets that. And then I'm really excited about tonight and TakeOver. You know, not necessarily the highest stakes because it is still developmental and all that, but. If history has shown anything, it's that these are typically some of the best shows of the year. You know, even when they're not super earth-shattering in terms of news, top to bottom, they are just so much fun to watch. And I like it sort of being on a Wednesday night, not necessarily taking up a Sunday night. It's something to do on a Wednesday. They don't drag on forever. You're sure to see two or three really fun matches. And very often they do break some news, you know. Very often you see somebody pop up that you weren't expecting to be there. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about tonight.
Yeah, and I guess you got to wonder who that is tonight. You know, because, I mean, last time at TakeOver it was Bobby Roode. And, you know, we got a surprise coming in the taping after TakeOver. And so, I mean, I'm almost as interested in what's going to happen tomorrow at the next brand of tapings than what's going to happen tonight. But I mean, I'm expecting some good matches tonight, obviously.
Okay, yeah, yeah, and they've been debuting guys at those takeover shows before they were in this real recruitment mode that everybody's saying they are on now because of the brand split. So who knows? I mean, if it is the case that a lot of NXT talent is going to be moving up to the main brands to flesh out the two rosters, that means they need to kind of, restock NXT, and maybe we get to see some of that tonight.
Yeah, I think one aspect that's really been undersold is, the arrival of La Sombra, Manny Andrade,
sure.
Cien Almas, whatever you want to call him. I think he and Ty Dillinger should have a very good outing there. I mean, it's obviously going to be designed to showcase Andrade, but I'm thinking this will be fun.
Yeah, yeah, and are there any angles tonight that set up potentially some departures from NXT to SmackDown or Raw? That'll be something to look out for too.
Okay, 646-721-9828. Let's see, another question from the chat room. Alfonso, can you give an example of a wrestling reporter acting in an unethical manner? I don't know if that's possible, but we are paragons of virtue, but go ahead.
I mean, certainly, we talked a bit before about access and that kind of thing, and sometimes access has got less to do with credentials to events and things like that, and more to do with the kind of interviews that you get, that kind of thing. And certainly a reporter who's got a reputation for asking some questions that they'd rather not be asked may find himself having a hard time getting interviews that he'd like to get. The flip side of that is, I won't name names, but I certainly know some people in the wrestling media types who get, everybody, I don't want to say too much, but steady streams of stars coming their way. And I think it is the case because, said or unsaid, I think they know that there won't be too much asked in the way of controversial, hard-hitting questions. And it's fine, this is sort of what Ariel Helwani was talking about the other day. We're not talking about war correspondence here. At the end of the day, we're writing about wrestling. So there are different ways to do it. You mentioned Bill After before, and I think Bill After would be the first to tell you that he made his career not upsetting people, and not stepping on toes. You can question, the ethics behind that, that kind of thing. It's kind of a tricky thing, and it is the case. I mean, who doesn't love Bill Lapter? And I'm not singling him out at all.
Right. I mean,
because I do think he does something different. There's a world of difference between what a Wade Keller or Dave Meltzer does and what a Bill Lapter does. And it's not really, I guess, a question of ethics. Most of the time, and that wasn't a person I'm thinking about, but I've certainly talked to people who, in their professional roles, write something, express a certain opinion, and if you talk to them outside of that more candidly, they'll be the first to tell you, I don't believe anything that I wrote, but what am I supposed to do? We've got to keep a relationship with so-and-so.
At that point, you're more in the PR business than you are the journalism business. And I understand it's a fine line because, like anything, you want to get guests. So, I mean, especially for a show that you do regularly or for a column that's written regularly, if what you do is based on having access, then you want to have access. I think it's, to quote one of Albert Brooks's characters, I think it's brown nosing when you pucker up and smooch. So.
And a good point to bring up, and you talked about the difference between PR and journalism, is that some of these folks would be the first to say that they don't consider themselves journalists and, don't come from a journalism background or anything like that. They find, they might just like wrestling. They find themselves with a platform to write about or broadcast about or whatever it is about wrestling. And, and they do it and more power to them. That automatically sort of lumps them into that sort of journalism category. But I think sometimes they find themselves kind of as reluctant journalists, and I understand that. I mean, that's kind of the tricky thing.
All right, 646-721-9828. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to talk more about this wonderful professional wrestling business with Alfonso Castillo of Newsday, and we're going to take more of your telephone calls. So don't you go anywhere. The Wednesday edition of the PW Torch Livecast will continue. Hang in there.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
All right, we're back on the Wednesday edition of the PW Torch Livecast. Pat McNeil alongside Alfonso Castillo of Newsday. I have another question which actually brings back memories for me. It is, do you have any good memories of calling into wrestling radio shows before you started writing about wrestling?
Absolutely. I just heard the interview with the commercial for the old John Arezzi show, and you know, I grew up here in the New York, Long Island area. If you find in the archives there Wade's interview, or John Arezzi's interview with the Ultimate Warrior from, God, what is that, almost 25 years ago, you'll hear somewhere in there a very young Alfonso Castillo, a very baby-sounding, baby-voiced Alfonso Castillo asking a very naive question to the Ultimate Warrior. So, I see that all the time. That's kind of my start in the journalism business, actually, was later on, a show that took over that slot, Get in the Ring with Sir Adam and the Phantom. Just called into them all the time. You know, that turned into an internship, and somehow, somewhere down the line, turned into a career in journalism.
Well, congratulations. If you go back and listen to old tapes of Mike Tenay's national show in the 90s, I did, you'll probably notice that I called in a few times. And I mean, that was another example, and that right there is another example of the show that, you know, they were, I mean, it was, yeah, I mean, Mike took it seriously, but, yeah, the show was sponsored by WCW, and Mike was obviously working for WCW, and, yeah. So, it would be kind of impossible not to have a conflict of interest there.
Yeah, who took over Arezzi's slot was Vince Russo, who I interviewed about just that. For my Newsday piece on Vince some weeks back, and you know, we talked about just the subject and that line of journalism, and he talked about how he wasn't comfortable because before he was the host of the radio show, he was the main sponsor for a Arezzi show, and how he wasn't comfortable sponsoring a show that was delving into such controversial topics. So he eventually took it over himself, and when he did, he kind of threw out any hard-hitting journalism and just wanted it to be fun and not, you know, tackle, pressing subjects, that kind of thing. And says he still does that today on his podcast. And, you know, it goes back to that question. Does that make him a journalist? I mean, certainly there's something to be said for journalistic training, you know, and actually going to school for the thing, getting a degree and that kind of thing. So, yeah, too bad. You don't need a license or anything like that to start a show, call yourself a journalist.
Or a podcaster, for that matter.
Yeah,
very true. 646-721-9828. Although, to be fair, I don't think, you know, Vince Russo made a lot of pretenses that he had a hard-hitting journalistic college show there.
No, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
Fine. Okay, let's hit on some of the other topics. You know, TNA has been under, well, everybody's radar, but they have survived another year. They're going into Slammiversary, and they've managed to get, I guess you could say that some of the stuff previewing Slammiversary has gone viral, namely the stuff involving Matt Hardy and Jeff.
Brother Nero.
Yes. And obviously the, yeah. Go on.
I was saying, I was just on their YouTube page earlier today and was looking at the number of views for their videos. On average, I'd say any video that TNA puts up, you know, I guess the average is 20 to 30,000 views, something like that. Some less, some more. And that video, the Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy contract signed video, is somewhere in the 300,000 view range right now. I'd say by far it's the biggest thing they put out in a long time. Obviously, for all the wrong reasons, but I wonder if they care. I mean, I wonder if they just see it as a success. You got 300,000 people clicking on this video, becoming, you know, being reminded that we exist, you know, a week or two before our first pay-per-view in a long time. You know, they might just see it as a win.
Yeah, I know. I think. I mean, it remains to be seen how many, you know, how much of this translates into buys. But you know, I mean, it's, yeah, you know, we've got people talking about it when I don't think anybody was really talking about the pay per view they did in January. So,
no.
So good on them.
No.
And you know, I think I'm sure Matt and Jeff will have a good match, and I'm sure that you know, and I have good expectations of Drew Galloway and Bobby Lashley as well. So I mean, this could be fun coming up this weekend. And again, it's like with NXT. I mean, a lot of it's going to be the pay-per-view on Sunday, but they're going to do a whole string of TV tapings after that, and we'll get kind of an idea of where they're heading, who's coming in, who's not coming in, that sort of thing.
Does TNA have tapings set? I'm not even aware, one way or the other.
They're doing they're going to be doing tapings. I believe next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, with the pay-per-view after the pay-per-view on Sunday.
Okay, well, good for them.
Also, Ring of Honor has gotten attention, some of it for the wrong reason. There's questions about the product isn't bad, but the product's not hot, and is it time for Hunter Johnston or Delirious or whatever you want to call him to step away as head booker? And, I mean, I can sort of see both sides of that. It's hard to be, you know, the number two wrestling company when you don't really have a shot of catching number one and the roster. I mean, you know, the roster, you have great wrestlers, but you're kind of limited in what you have. But on the other hand, you know, I don't know that there's this whole big demand for more of Jay Briscoe versus Jay Lethal.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, I the interesting thing with Ring of Honor is that I think among fans of WWE and just professional wrestling as a whole, they look at where Ring of Honor is and. They may get frustrated, you know, it's kind of a stale product right now, they're not growing, you know, what's that next big leap? And for Ring of Honor, I don't know that they're thinking that way or looking that way, and that's fine. I mean, they are essentially the de facto number two, you know, light years away from the number one, but they've got a business plan that seems to be working for them. You know, running shows a couple times a month, drawing pretty good crowds there, and by most accounts, turning a small profit. And even the profitability issue is a little sort of nebulous because I don't even know if they're really in the profit-making business. I mean, they're almost an advertising arm for Sinclair Broadcasting. And the business model they have, they're able to air their shows all over the country, and you know, that brings eyes to Sinclair and other programming and that kind of thing. But they've got their little business model. You know, I'm sure they wouldn't mind moving from 800 fans in the crowd for a show to 1,000 or 1,100, or maybe moving to the next size up venue, that kind of thing. But there's no pretenses about them looking to compete with WWE or anything like that. I mean, some of the rhetoric we've heard from Dixie Carter over the years, I think they know where they stand in the wrestling landscape, and they're fine with it. I don't at all see a troubled wrestling company or anything like that. I mean, you can always freshen things up. Sure, you know, I watched that last show. I wasn't crazy about the main event or the big angle with the Bullet Club. But it's something, you know. I mean, at least you get a sense there that there's some motivation to put on a good product.
It's not like guys are going out and phoning it in. And I mean, I can't argue that. I mean, this is better than, you know, having people wondering from month to month whether Ring of Honor was going to survive, which is what happened before Sinclair bought in. It's also probably better than having ECW, and there's lots of developments and lots of things going on, and there's a lot of excitement behind it, and the company's losing money hand over fist. So I think it's good to have a stable number two company out there. All right, 646-721-9828. Got about 12 more minutes here with Alfonso Castillo of Newsday. Immediately following this program, by the way, on most of these blog talk radio stations is the East Coast Cast with Travis Bryant and company. It is the Pleasure Island of the PW Torch affiliated broadcast that is not an official broadcast. As such, parental discretion is advised. Go to eastcoastcast.com. Okay, let's talk. Even before all the SummerSlam hype, you have WWE coming back to Madison Square Garden. But I'm thinking that's next month.
Yeah, I think that is the 16th.
Yeah, and that's sort of an interesting lineup, especially being that it's right before the brand split's going to happen. So, you know, if they're actually going to do split crews, it could be your last chance to see, you know, everybody at the same time.
Yeah, I always love a Garden House show. I mean, the one thing I like more than the Garden House show is a Nassau Coliseum House show. But the Coliseum's under construction, has been for the last year or so. So it's going to be a while before we get another one of those. But obviously, I mean, just in terms of the history and the aura of a Madison Square Garden house show, more so even than a pay-per-view at Madison Square Garden or a Raw at Madison Square Garden, I love going. It feels like you're thrown back into, 1985 or 1978 or pick your year. I mean, they've upgraded the production some at house shows. They've got a semblance of a Tron and a ramp, and they don't do pyro, but they do some like smoke effects and things like that. But it's still basically a ring in a dimly lit Madison Square Garden and some matches inside. And it's a blast. I got, you know, two young kids and the Garden House show is usually when the whole family goes out and enjoys it. And it absolutely is the case that I think they put a little something extra, not just in terms of the lineup, but in terms of wrestlers stepping up their game and really kind of giving it their A effort for a Garden show. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
And at the moment, you know, knock on wood, everybody's healthy. Cena's back, Rollins is back. We're expecting Bray Wyatt's been cleared. We're expecting him back, and you know, I mean, things are going to be hopping over the next few weeks.
I never, get too excited about returns because it's amazing how and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, but how quickly guys you just get used to guys. You know, so Seth Rollins debuts on a Sunday night in Newark. I was there for that show, and it was just electric. And whatever it is, a week or two later, he's just another guy in the roster. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just, you know, it's like your friend moves out of town for a long time, comes back, and within a week you're just sitting around drinking a beer with him, and it's just like old times, that kind of thing. So I don't know that any of these returns are going to be sort of transformational for WWE. I think the timing is good because they're going to have this brand split. But I get more excited about those times when the roster is depleted, because that's when there is reason for excitement. That's when there's reason to look for something special, guys getting elevated, surprises, debuts, that kind of thing. So, I think whether it's Randy Orton or it's Bray Wyatt or it's Seth Rollins, I think we all have a sense of where their place in the card is going to be. The timing is good. You know, they certainly need as many hands on deck as possible. So in that sense, it's a good thing, but it's not anything that really gets me super excited or ramped up, you know.
Well, you talked about all the times you've spent going to the Nassau Coliseum. What's your favorite house show memory from that building?
Oh gosh, there's a ton. The first show I ever went to, the first live wrestling show I ever went to, was May of 1987, and it was after a few weeks earlier I had seen WrestleMania 3 on the big screen at the Coliseum, and then we came back for the next WWF show at the time at the Coliseum, and it was Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage in a steel cage, That was a blast. And then I didn't go for a number of years, and then became a big Ultimate Warrior fan and returned to the Coliseum in, what was that, August of 1990, I think. It was just before that year's SummerSlam, and it was the main event was Warrior and Kerry Von Erich versus Mr. Perfect and Rick Rude, and that was a blast, too. But I've got a ton of great memories from the Coliseum. It's just sort of my home away from home. It's this dilapidated old building about to get a big facelift. The Coliseum, as we know it, is gone for good. But for seeing wrestling, just the sight lines were great. It was a very low building, so anywhere you sat, you weren't too far away from the action. And it was just about a year ago, I think it was Memorial Day last year, that I saw the very last event ever there. And a bit of trivia, the last match ever in the Nassau Coliseum was a dark match, and it was Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. I was hoping for something, a speech, something, I was also at the last event ever at the Izod Center in the old Meadowlands Arena. That was on my birthday last year. And John Cena came out and gave a nice little send-off, and they put together a video package of moments at the Meadowlands. They unfortunately didn't do anything like that for the Coliseum, and the Coliseum has had its share of major wrestling events, whether it was WrestleMania 2 or SummerSlam 2002, where Brock beat The Rock. I was there for that as well. The Coliseum's got a lot of history. We're getting a brand new one about this time next year. It should be open, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, but it'll be nice, it'll be good. I think New York is once again a heated up as a wrestling market. What would SummerSlam, having and still being able to do shows at the Garden, and hopefully keeping shows in Newark and Long Island and in New Jersey. I mean, I think that's I think that's ultimately going to be good. You've also had Ring of Honor coming through and Evolve, and Evolve is right in the middle of this partnership with WWE, and WWE is using Evolve to promote their Cruiserweight series. It's interesting for me because this doesn't sound. I mean, WWE has partnered with smaller companies before, but it always comes off as odd and not like the company. It's not like the WWE you remember.
Yeah, again, we talked about with the brand split how they get excited about something and then lose interest. And I've always had this sort of uneasy feeling about this relationship with Evolve. I mean, I think part of the reason why it's happening at all and why it's flourished is because my sense is that Vince McMahon is kind of hands-off on it, and it is more a Triple H project. But something like Cody Rhodes walking out on WWE during his contract, and I know they came to terms, but it doesn't seem like it was the most amicable terms, and then going to wrestle for Evolve, while WWE has got this relationship with Evolve, that's the kind of thing that I could see making some people feel kind of uneasy. And inevitably, you're going to run into situations like this. I mean, you're going to have a talent that leaves WWE potentially in very bad terms, you know, worse than Cody Rhodes, who Gabe Sapolsky is going to look at as a potential draw and might have some interest in, and you know, maybe some pressures are put one way or the other there. It's just it seems like kind of a combustible situation.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, it's going well, but it's the sort of thing that can turn sour in a hurry. And I think also one of the interesting parts of it for me is, you know, you have this awkwardness coming up this weekend where obviously we talked about TNA Slammiversary. You know, coming up right before that, you have two of the top baby faces in TNA, you know, who are going to be working for Evolve, and Drew Galloway,
right,
and you know, Ethan Carter III. And I can't see a situation where that's not awkward, because they're going up against guys who are going to be in the WWE Global Cruiserweight Tournament.
You know, there are all kinds of PR reasons why WWE, and some of them very legitimate, you know, would have some qualms about being associated with an independent wrestling company. You know, as professional as I think Gabe Sapolsky is, it is the case that indie promotions play by a different set of rules. When it comes to all kinds of things, you know, drug testing or anything like that, I mean, they're by definition kind of outlaw promotions. And it's, you know, it's not unlikely that there will be a situation where Evolve has got somebody appearing or run some kind of angle. And again, they're not into the controversy business. This isn't, you know, Paul Heyman 1996. Something bad happens on an Evolve show. I don't know that Vince McMahon would want the story to read Evolve, which is affiliated with WWE, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to kind of be careful who you get in bed with.
Yeah, that's just good advice in general. We do have breaking news here as we come up to the end of the program. We are informed that Triple H will be hosting a live interview on Facebook tonight. Immediately following NXT TakeOver the End, it'll be on the Triple H Facebook page, located at facebook.com/Triple H. That's definitely something to look forward to. And it's been great talking to Alfonso here as we come to the end of an hour. Alfonso, let everybody know where they can get hold of you via social media and where they can keep track of your work.
Yes, I'm on Twitter at Alfonso Reports. And they could just go to newsday.com and look for my work. I occasionally do some freelance work with Pro Wrestling Illustrated as well. So feel free to go to pwi-online.com and check out all the great work that they're doing. They've got a podcast as well. Yes, by all means.
Okay. And, of course, we'll be providing coverage of all the crazy wrestling events this weekend, including NXT, including the Evolve weekend, and including TNA Slammiversary. Stay in touch with us at pwtorch.com, or you can sign up at pwtorch.com/govip and get this week's newsletter going. Alfonso, thanks again for being on the show. For the rest of you, join Wade Keller tomorrow at 1 p.m., when Wade presents Interview Thursday. Until next week, keep your feet on the ground and keep shooting for the stars. Good night.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
You suck it. You can suck it. Suck it.
Suck it.
Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.
I don't know!
Love.